FPL is back after the Cups took centre stage. We discuss the impact of those, plus the returnees from AFCON and January transfers, plus we do a deep dive into Sam's wildcard, which is almost ready. Hello, guys. Welcome back to the FPL pods. And I'm going to say this early. We are recording this podcast and there is a penalty shootout going on. And if you're a regular listener to this podcast, you'll know that one person out of the three of us definitely has the penalties on whilst we're recording. I'm looking at you, Jules.
Hello, Kel. It's just that, but it's just to keep you two informed about the evolution of the Morocco-Nigeria AFCON semi-final penalty shootout.
Okay, well, that will finish somewhere during this podcast, I'm sure. And to be honest, by the time you're listening to this, you'll probably know the result. So it's pretty much useless. But just to explain why Jules might be distracted, Sam, first question, how's the wildcard?
I'm also quite distracted, but by that, not by the penalty shootout that's going on over in Africa. Yeah, it's going okay. I'll run you through it later, but I might have done some tinkering while the Arsenal-Chelsea game is on because I might have changed my mind about a couple of things as I was watching that game play out. But yeah, I'm enjoying it. It's nice to have a wild card active.
Is it? Is it really? Yeah.
Do you know what? It feels like a fresh slate. Like, it feels like I can just start again.
It's and the hope that kills nice. You. No, I'm joking. I also love a wild card. It's fun, isn't it, for a couple of weeks to feel like you've got all the power and can make all the changes while things are happening, injuries and the like. So, yeah, I'm only joking. I am quite envious. Of course, we're all missing FPL a little bit, aren't we? Because we've had a little break for the FA Cup. We've also seen the League Cup semi-finals being played as well, or the first legs of those. We've just finished with Chelsea versus Arsenal. We'll talk more about that later. But just to check in on our mini league, because we talked about most of our Game Week 21 scores in the Game Week 21 pod, which was last week. But we did still have a match to play between Arsenal and Liverpool. Let's be honest, wasn't a great deal of help to anyone unless you had defenders from this game. So Jules, you finished on 63. You got 15 points from Raya, Gabriel and Rice. So you did all right out of that game. Sam, you got 18 points from Raya, Gabriel, Saka and Verts. And I just got 9 points. But yeah, nice points, I guess, but not too much to say about it. In terms of the FPL Bob Mini League, absolutely nothing changed in the top three and the code is XY6XPL. Okay, then let's just quickly take stock of what we've seen in terms of Premier League teams that were involved in the FA Cup last weekend. At the weekend, it was the FA Cup third round, as I said, then Tuesday and Wednesday evening saw the League Cup semi-final first legs. Jules, what were your big takeaways? Stop looking at the penalties. What were your big takeaways from those games?
You're right, Kels. You're right. I should focus on the show. There was a lot of things happening, as you said, in the FA Cup. We'll start really by the massive upset, probably the biggest in the FA Cup history. Mm. Macclesfield knocking out Crystal Palace. We've said for many weeks now how tired this Crystal Palace team have been, how not great they've been playing. Morocco just won, by the way, and we'll play Senegal in the AFCON final. But so for Palace, if you still own maybe Gehi, maybe Mateta, those kind of players, it would be hard, I think, to bounce back from that humiliating defeat at Macclesfield. Antoine Semenyo with an instant impact at Manchester City, both in the FA Cup and the League Cup. We'll talk about that a little bit later. We saw Ferran Wirtz continuing his good form, and same with Ekitike coming back fit and playing against Barnsley, a goal and an assist for each of them. That was good. Tati Castellanos, the new West Ham forwards, scoring on his debut against QPR, the winner as well in the FA Cup for them. Rodgers being very good. I didn't know how to approach this Spurs defeat again, Sam. I'm really sorry. But Morgan Rodgers, very good again with Aston Villa in their win.
Buendia was good as well, I thought, in that game.
Buendia was very good. Mm-hmm. One to keep an eye, I think, at his price range. Right now, Harry Wilson changed the game when he came on for Fulham against Middlesbrough. They were losing when he came on. He scored and then they won the game. Enzo Lefe continues as well. Some good forms with his goal against Everton away for Bournemouth win in the penalty shootout where Roofs saved 3 penalties. So if you've got Roofs, he's really high on confidence. And quickly on the League Cup, Ryan Cherki changed the game, I thought, for Manchester City away at Newcastle on Tuesday night with a goal and a wonderful cameo performance, I thought it was. Wissa started ahead of Voltemade again for Newcastle. Maybe something there for us. Still no goal in open play for Erling Haaland in many, many hours, which is maybe a bit worrying. Arsenal set piece, did it again. Timber at left back was interesting because no Incapié, no Calafiori, no Palmer, James, Gusto, Delap, or Caicedo for Chelsea. We could be worrying for the game at the weekend. And I think that's pretty much it.
Cool. That was good again, wasn't it? Thanks, Jules. That notepad's coming useful, hasn't it? Just to let you know, the EFL Cup final will likely cause a blank game week in game week 31 for the final, as the two teams that make the final and their opponents likely won't be able to play that week. The latter stages of the FA Cup will also cause a blank game week. We love it when this happens, don't we? Because we can use our chips. That will be towards the end of the season. The FA Cup semi-finals are on the weekend beginning Saturday the 25th of April. I know you're listening to this thinking it's ages away, but we like forward planning, don't we, Jules?
Absolutely.
He looked away then. He was watching the penalty celebration.
No, he was watching Morocco celebrate.
I've turned the TV off, I promise you.
Yeah, we like forward planning. And let's be honest, 25th of April will be here before we know it. That does coincide with game week 34. This does mean that any Premier League clubs who reach this stage, along with their respective game week 34 opponents, would have a blank game week 34. So far, none of the games in game week 34 are certain to be on, despite Bournemouth, Palace, Man United, Forest, Everton and Spurs going out of the competition. So definitely one to watch and monitor over the coming months. Let's just have a quick word on AFCON as well, because as we've been hearing, we're getting towards the African Cup of Nations. Talk through, Jules, where we're at with those. I mean, Sam, you can as well, but Jules, where are we at with the teams? You've told us the live update.
Yeah, I mean, the big news is that Egypt are out, which means that Omar Marmoush, and more importantly, I guess for us, Mo Salah, will be flying back to England, I suspect, on Thursday or probably Friday. So they might be involved. They could be involved at the weekend. For sure, it'd be certainly interesting with Mo Salah to see what Arne Slot and Liverpool do with him, and where, if they play him, if they start him, and all of that. It would be the same for Brian Mbeumo, who also has already come back to Manchester after Cameroon were knocked out. Amad Diallo, the same, already in Manchester. So potentially in the squad for the game, for the derby against City on Saturday lunchtime. Ait Nouri is also back, for example, from Algeria with Manchester City. And that might impact Nico Reilly being a constant starter a left back. Sadiki is back for Sunderland, for example. So if you wanted to have him, or he could have definitely a positive impact on Xhaka if you own Xhaka, on Lefe if you own Lefe, because he's going to come straight back into the Sunderland team. So that's pretty much the latest news on the AFCON players.
Sam, it does mean that a number of, Jules has mentioned a few of them then, of our big FPL assets will have already made their way back to the clubs. What are you doing with those players? Should we be doing anything? Are we expecting them to be thrown straight back in? I know it can vary from club to club and player to player.
Yeah, and it often does, doesn't it? Often, you know, you see some clubs that just go, right, you're back, get back in there. And I think it depends on the current state of affairs at that club as to whether that happens, or if the club's been doing okay in their absence, then maybe they might play it out. And as Jill said, with the Egyptians in particular, maybe they don't arrive back until Friday. And then the games are on Saturday. And in Man City's case, it's at lunchtime on Saturday. So I would have thought it would be unlikely that Marmoush would be in the starting 11. He hasn't been for most of the season anyway. But even with Salah, maybe Liverpool just give you a little bit of time to just let him bed back in. I think for me, I'm just going to take a breath with the assets coming back from AFCON. I don't think there's any that I'm particularly wanting to jump straight back on. And Bournemouth is obviously really interesting, but the next two fixtures are really difficult because they've got obviously the derby and then the Arsenal game to follow. So you could definitely wait a couple of weeks before you're investing there. But O'Reilly is a player that's not going to survive my wild card on the basis that suddenly the competition is back in the form of Ait Nouri, and the clean sheets haven't really been there anyway. So I think it's those kind of things you need to consider when you're looking at the AFCON players and them coming back.
As if this wasn't all enough to think about in terms of multiple cups being in play and players returning, it's also the January transfer window, isn't it? New signings are going to be joining clubs. We've seen a few already. The big one, really, especially in terms of FPL, that we've been waiting to kind of happen is Antoine Semenyo. He's the second most owned player in the game. He was, of course, a Bournemouth player. He is now a Manchester City player. He has already been amongst the goals for Pep Guardiola's side. What do you do if you own him, do you think, Jules?
I think you're very happy if you own him already, and he didn't make it 4 months Manchester City players, because obviously we'd have to get rid of one. But I think if you have him, for me, he's going to get even better at City with the players that he will have around him. No offense to Bournemouth, but this is another level, obviously. The form that he's already showed, the goal in the FA Cup and the assist. Okay, it was only against Exeter at the Etihad and they won 10-1 and it was way too easy for them. But still, you still have to score the goals. And then I thought, in the way he took his chances, the goal against against Newcastle on Tuesday night at St James's Park, the second goal that was disallowed for this controversial offside, but he was
still
there.
Let's not get into that, Jules.
No, but you know, he was still there to score that goal initially. So I thought he looked good, he looked sharp, he's so powerful, he's so strong, he would fit this team really well. I don't know if he will start every game, and there might be a case of him or Doku instead of both of them together, like we saw against Newcastle, for example. So we said before when he signed, this will certainly impact the Pep roulette game and all the choices, because suddenly you go from, if you consider Rodri and Bernardo to be indispensable, then it leaves you with Cherki, Foden, Doku, Semenyo, potentially Savinho if you want to. Five really for three positions behind Haaland, and not all five of them will play. So there will be some weeks where you can be a bit stressed if you have some of them, and then they might not start. But I think if you own Semenyo right now, you're in for a good ride.
Are you stressed as a Cherki owner?
I am a little bit. However, I thought again on Tuesday night, he changed the game like he did the previous league games in the midweek before. I don't think Pep can leave him on the bench. It makes such a difference when he comes on. And maybe it's because there's half an hour to play. The opposition's defense is quite tight. And suddenly you get this guy. You don't even know if he's right-footed or left-footed. He can control the ball in any way, any shape or form, anything. He can do anything he wants with the ball. And then that's why he's so impactful, because of that. Or I just think that he's right now City's most creative players. And I think he will be crazy for Guardiola not to start him in the derby against United on Saturday. So I'm not too worried, but that's what he offers you. I think he will be great from the start. I think he will be great as an impact sub too.
Sam, just because I've had a few people ask me this, if you own Semenyo and you already have three Manchester City players, what happens?
The game won't force you to make a substitution yet. So you could, if you rolled, just have four Man City assets for this game at the weekend. And if you never made another transfer, you could have four until the end of the season. However, the first time that you try to make a transfer, it will make you sell a Manchester City player. Yeah. So you can decide which one, but you would have to sell one of the four.
Yes, yes. So just to confirm, if you want to try and ride it out for a few game weeks before, maybe you could. But yeah, it will force you to do that. Another signing that was made, was it probably the first of the window, wasn't it? It was definitely one of the first. Brennan Johnson was Spurs' top scorer last season. Sam is eye rolling. He is now a Crystal Palace player. We're not here to debate whether Spurs should or shouldn't have sold him, Sam. We're here to debate whether he's a good asset in FPL now.
Maybe. I certainly would like him back at Spurs right now. I think he was our top scoring player last season in a Palace side that have been really struggling. I mean, he's definitely not tired. He hasn't played a lot of minutes for Spurs this season. So whilst the rest of that Palace squad are tired and, you know, feeling the number of games that they've had in their legs, Johnson is going to be fresh and could be an interesting differential to have. He's cheap. He's had some price drops over the course of this season because he hasn't really played. The fixtures are great for Crystal Palace. Like, if you just looked at the fixture ticker over the next sort of up to game week 30, they're beautiful for Palace, and they really should be a team that we're investing in. So it's going to be tough to invest there. And I wouldn't suggest that you just go and buy Brennan Johnson straight off the back for no apparent reason, because he hasn't shown us anything yet. But if over the coming weeks they start to refine some form, and maybe now they're out of the FA Cup, there's one less set of games that they've got to play over the course of the season, maybe Johnson becomes an interesting differential, but I would hold fire on it just yet.
What about Conor Gallagher? Because he's signed today as well.
Yeah, came a bit out of the blue. Maybe. Again, I think it remains to be seen. We've got a lot of injuries going on at the minute, and losing Bentancur for a while. He's had to have some surgery, so that's going to have an impact. Obviously, Kudus is out until after the March international break, so that's also problematic. Richarlison appeared to pull up at the weekend, so we'll need to wait for news from Thomas Frank as to what's gone on with him. It was nice to see Dom Solanke come back in the FA Cup as well, even just for a short period of time. It's like having a new signing, having Dom Solanke back. It was delightful. But so we'll see where Gallagher fits, whether he comes straight into the starting 11 at the weekend. I'll be there to watch this one for my sins. So we'll see whether he comes straight in or whether they ease him in. Again, he could be. He's been great in FPL in the past. So it's going to be one of those wait and sees as well, I think.
Yeah, just rattling through a few of the other signings. West Ham's have signed Pablo and Tati, and of course they've already seen a goal from one of them. And Pascal Gross is back at Brighton too, Jules. What do you make of those in terms of FPL?
Yeah, I think the two West Ham forwards is interesting because that's not really what they needed right now. You know, they need defenders. They haven't defended well because going forward, when you've got Paqueta and Bowen and those kind of players, even Somerville, that's not really where you need. They need probably a goal scorer, and Tati Castellano on his day could really be super good. I just, as we saw, for example, against QPR, he took his goal really well. I would just wait a little bit more to see what kind of impact they have on this West Ham team, both of them. Pablo is a bit younger, he's slightly different. I expect Tati Castellano to start and to be the starter. So we'll have to see. For Gross, it's interesting because he will be on set pieces. He's just a great, his deliveries are great on crosses or set pieces anyway. So that could be something, and you know he's going to run a lot and he probably would get some DEFCON's points. So that could be an interesting one, Gross, in a midfield where you've got so many really good options. I don't even know what to do with my midfield. I don't know who to bench really this week, for example, with the Cherki, to follow your Cherki question. So Gross is one to keep in mind, like Castellano, but for Gallagher, he's going to go straight for me into the Spurs team. And that's really something that I could see being quite popular in FPL if he starts doing well. And for Brennan Johnson, similar really, if Palace picked up some form.
Okay, now on to the section that I was really waiting for, and I reckon a lot of the people listening have tuned in today to hear. Sam, you left it late last time to talk about your wild card, but we have left a lovely long section of the pod for you to run through it and for us to critique it and look on enviously, I'm sure. In fact, over 145,000 managers are actually now playing the chip this week. We know it's popular, don't we, in international breaks, and probably when people realised there was that little bit longer with the FA Cup break, they probably thought, okay, it's a good time to play it. Even though it's early in this kind of wild card season for this wild card too, it does make sense to play it now, doesn't it? Well, obviously you're going to say, yes, you've done it.
Yeah. I mean, it's the most sensible play of them all. Yeah. No, I mean, look, there's two ways of looking at it, right? There's the bit that says you go early, you can fix your season. And I really, really need that. And there's the other bit that says, well, it's too early because we're still guesstimating what might happen with the League Cup final because we've only seen the first legs. We're still guesstimating what might happen with the FA Cup and which games are most likely to be on or off by the time we hit those points. So in terms of forward planning for the blanks and doubles, it's probably not the best time to have done it. But that wasn't my strategy. Like, it's all very well and good me planning for the blanks and the doubles, but I might be at 7 million by that point if I don't do something about it right now. So I've got to fix it now. It also has allowed me to deal with, there's a lot of injuries at the minute. There's a lot of suspensions at the minute. We've talked about players coming back from AFCON. We've talked about the January transfer being open. So it gives us an opportunity, I think, to kind of use those things and to plan for, if not immediately jump on the fixture swings that are coming for some of the bigger clubs.
Okay, then, who are the teams? Why don't you run us through that squad firstly, and then we can talk about the thought process. Do you want to do goalkeepers first?
And what's the percentage of this is solid?
Yeah,
Is that, is this 50%? Is this 70? Are you like 99% that this is going to be the squad, or what would you say?
I would say there's probably four positions that I'm still pondering on. I really, really need another midfielder. That's what I need. I need six midfielders because right. that's where.
And what about another 5 million too, maybe? No?
No, the budget's
not an
issue.
A few more points while they're at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to do with a lot more points.
Yeah, Christmas is gone.
No.
Let's go through by position. Okay. Or was there any teams in particular? What was the first thing you did when you activated the World Cup? Was there like a, you know, like often when we build our teams at the beginning of the season, we say we pick our premiums first. Did you do the same with this World Cup?
Sort of, yes. I, at the time when I hit the button, I was like, right, I need to invest in Chelsea because the fixtures are fantastic. They've got a great run of fixtures coming up until the Arsenal game in game week 28. There's a fantastic run of fixtures. Now, yes, you can talk about the Champions League and the fact that they're going to be playing a lot of football with the League Cup, second leg to come as well. But the fixtures are fantastic. And so I wanted to invest there. And at the time, I wanted to allow myself the budget for Cole Palmer so that if that was the player that I wanted from Chelsea, I could get there. I also wanted to allow myself a route to Bruno Fernandes for 2 weeks' time. So that includes keeping Florian Wirtz for the next 2 weeks and the money in the bank to upgrade him to Bruno after the Manchester City and Arsenal fixtures. So Chelsea and the kind of midfield premiums were my were my main strategy, first of all. And then there were just routes to pain that I wanted to close, as well as getting on players that I think might be good in the coming weeks that maybe are lowly owned right now.
Okay.
So like, for example, Declan Rice has been just a nightmare to not have in my team, because every 5 minutes he's popping up with just double digit hauls. And so I actually thought that my strategy was going to be to go for the double up of the Arsenal midfielders with Rice and Saka, and then just Gabrielle at the back. As the week has progressed, I have shifted back to the defensive double up with Gabrielle and Timber, which on reflection is pretty daft of me, because it means I now have to pay more for Timber because I sold him and I had money invested. So now he costs me like 0.3 more. So it's one of those things that I sold him in the last game week, and now I kind of wish I hadn't, because I changed my view on.
But at least your
wild
card's active and you can change your mind on that. Like, do you know what I mean? And like, if you're wasting a transfer on that, that would feel worse.
It would definitely. And I think actually, while my wild card's been active, I've earned way more than that in team value back again. Yeah. So it's not the end of the
small
world,
price
but it
to play,
a bit frustrating. Yeah. So yeah, that was kind of my strategy. Goalkeepers. You asked about goalkeepers.
Go with the keepers.
Yeah, let's go
first
with the goalkeepers.
So I had Dubravka stays. He's one of only a couple of players that actually stayed throughout this wild card. He makes a lot of sense. And up until, it was funny because I was talking to one of the producers of this before when I sent in my team over so he can make a graphic for the YouTube channel. And he said to me, I'll be amazed if this doesn't change before the podcast. And then I changed the goalkeeper as the Chelsea game was playing out, because I was scouting Robert Sanchez tonight. And just seeing how he would work as the Chelsea goalkeeper under the new manager, because the new manager does like to kind of play out from the back and kind of risky short passes. That was part of his strategy when playing, when managing at Strasbourg. So there were a couple of big mistakes against Arsenal trying to play out from the back, and I didn't enjoy watching it. And I thought, this is going to be a real frustration to me. So instead, I've now got Robin Roos in goal as Sunderland's number one. The fixtures are great, and he rotates absolutely perfectly with Dubravka, because in the weeks where I don't want to play Roofs, which is basically Arsenal in 25 and Liverpool in 26, Dubravka has West Ham and Crystal Palace. So it's kind of the perfect pairing that you can rotate. Sanchez and Roofs are the same price, so it doesn't actually save me anything. It shows you how good he's been so far this season. And as Jules mentioned right at the beginning of this podcast, he's high on confidence right now after what happened in the FA Cup at the weekend. So I think, given how awful goalkeepers have been for me this season, just going in with two that I can kind of rotate, and I know who's going to play every week, and I'm not really going to think about it, and there's upside potential for saves and bonus points, because, you know, he's made the most saves in the league, he's picked up the most bonus points, so the upside for Roos is great. So I think I'm just gonna go there and weirdly have two newly promoted goalkeepers in my team.
I feel like we shouldn't. We can't really. I know Sunderland are newly promoted, but they're not playing like a newly promoted team, are they?
They don't really count, do they?
No. Jules, who would you? What do you make of those goalkeeper picks? And who would you go with if you were picking keeper?
I've prepared absolutely nothing about this segment because I just thought it was Sam's monologue.
No,
you know,
I'm just wondering.
Squad,
just basically throwing other goalkeepers into the mix.
I would have Raya and keep Raya until the end of the season, pretty much. I understand that sometimes you could go for two cheaper goalkeepers like Sam is doing, especially if they rotate well. That's definitely a strategy. I just think that the other strategy is to go for this premium or at least the one you think is the best goalkeeper in the league and just keep him. Raya is the best goalkeeper in the league for me. He's got the best defense. You could see this. You could say the same for Donnarumma, for example, and keep Donnarumma between now and the end of the season and have another just cheap goalkeeper that you're never going to use, really, to leave on your bench. That's possible. I think I would go for the Raya route and the top super goalkeeper route more than what Sam is doing.
The problem with Raya, though, is that it takes your Arsenal spot. And if you're going to go for two Arsenal defenders, then Gabrielle and Timber are surely the best options in terms of the upside that they bring, because they're going to pick up DEFCON, they're going to pick up attacking returns, they'll likely get bonus points. Raya doesn't get save points, he doesn't get bonus points. He gets two or six. Whereas with Gabrielle and Timber, they could get six or four for the DEFCONs, or 24 if they get clean sheets and attacking returns and, you know, that sort of thing as well. So yeah, I get it. And normally in a normal season, I would just opt for a premium goalkeeper and set and forget on them. But Raya really, to me anyway, on a wild card, he feels like he's got the lowest ceiling, and I want to be getting as many points as possible out of any clean sheets that Arsenal might keep.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. I think a lot of people will be thinking the same. On that note, talk us through the your Arsenal defence. Well, it is partly an Arsenal defence, isn't it?
Because it will.
It's got Timber, Gabriel, and who else?
It's got Timber and Gabriel. I'm keeping Gaye because the Crystal Palace fixtures are so fantastic. They're second on the fixture ticker between now and game week 29. Only Bournemouth have nicer fixtures. And we do know that Gaye has real good attacking threat. We've seen that over the last few weeks, and you do have the potential for upside there. So I think I'm going to end up keeping him. I've got a lot of value in him at the minute. So if I do want to sell him, it'll be a last minute decision. I don't want to lose that team value that I've accrued in him. I'm keeping Mickey because, you know, I love him. And he is currently my cheapest defender. Now, if I need the extra 0.4 across my team, then I'll downgrade him to Alderete. Doesn't really feel like a downgrade, does it? But I didn't really want to go for the double up of the Sunderland defence because I've already got Roofs in goal. So having somebody different makes sense. And Mickey has been, like, every week I've seemed to need him, he pops up with a ridiculous goal here or there. And so for me, I think I'll keep him. And then I've currently gone back to Senesi. That slot is very much up for grabs. The Bournemouth fixtures are great. I like the attacking threat that he brings. I like the fact that he's pretty much guaranteed to get DEFCON. So it feels like you're starting at four with him every single week. Just don't really know if I trust Bournemouth defensively not to concede. So that's a slot that definitely could be up for grabs over the next couple of days between now and Saturday's deadline. I'm not sure where else I'd go. That's the problem, because I don't fancy the Villa defence. Matty Cash is obviously an option, but they just have this habit of leaking goals, and I don't really fancy them to stop doing that anytime soon. Liverpool's fixtures are nice, but I can't really afford Van Dijk, and I don't really want Konate. So Tarkowski's an option. Not feeling the love for the Everton defence though. So I'm back with Senesi for another little bit of fun with Bournemouth's defence.
Any thoughts, Jules?
Yeah, I think that's very good. Gabriel, Gaye and Van de Ven are in my defence. I've got Tarkowski, the other one, and O'Reilly. And I guess O'Reilly, for the price and the fact that I still think he's going to keep his place in the team ahead of Ait Nouri and anybody else, really. Could still be tempting, I guess, if you were playing your wild card. Because I think if I expect City to be really strong in that second half of the season, to be better with Semenyo going forward, for O'Reilly to be more involved going forward, and if they can tie things up a bit at the back, they might sign a defender or two as well. Then I think it becomes a very interesting asset.
Okay, then on to the midfield. We know you've sold Bukayo Saka to facilitate your Declan Rice move. So how does the rest of your midfield look?
Yeah, so Rice is now there. I'm enjoying that. That feels nice. That feels like I'm less stressed now going into that.
Are you starting him this week? Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
Aware Forest. Yeah, you're starting.
Yeah, why?
No, because I need to bench one. As I said, I've got Bruno Guimaraes, Wilson, Rogers, Rice and Cherki. And obviously...
So you basically, whatever I do, you're going to do the opposite. Is that what you're saying?
No. I was curious to see if you were starting, because the problem, as you know, I've had with Rice is that I've benched him at times, thinking that
whoever you bench gets points.
Exactly. So I was. I want to start him, but I also want to start Cherki. So I could go with just two up front and drop Calvert-Lewin, for example, to have the five in midfield. But I like my front three too. So I was just curious to see if you had him in your squad, if you started him or not.
Yeah, I'm currently playing all five of my midfield that I have this week.
Just quickly before you run through the rest of it, Sam, you mentioned that watching Chelsea-Arsenal changed your opinion. At what point did you decide that you didn't want Saka and that you could go without him? Because you've kind of maintained throughout that you like having Saka, or is it just the case that you just want the Arsenal defence more?
That is a very good question. So partly the change happened because I am really struggling for midfielding slots, because there are six or seven of them that I really want. And I was looking at Saka sitting there and thinking, you feel like you're taking up a slot when you're just ticking along with points. Whereas I feel like there are other players now that have a great run of fixtures that are in better form than Saka that could potentially bring me a better route to points. And by getting rid of Saka, it enables me to have both Gabriel and Timber. So that doesn't feel like a compromise too far, because it's allowing me to have two better or two of the Arsenal defence. And as we saw in game week 21, Kels, like if you had the double Arsenal defence, it came in trumps because it did, like, despite the fact that I was on a horrific red arrow before that game, the double Arsenal clean sheet helped massively. So I think for me, I took Saka out a couple of days ago before this game tonight. Tonight was all about watching Chelsea and obviously Cole Palmer. There was some comments about Cole Palmer and not being fully fit and available, and then obviously wasn't in the squad tonight. And then I thought, oh gosh, that really puts me off given the level of fixtures that they have. And I'd sold Saka to have Palmer. So at that point, I thought, well, I don't love that now because I feel like that could be a rotation risk over the next few weeks. And at one point, I've had Liam Delap in there as well. And obviously, he's missed out tonight as well. So the Chelsea conundrum rumbles on because the fixtures are still great. At the moment, for the first time this season, I've got Enzo Fernandez in my team. I kind of like the idea of him playing in the 10 for Chelsea, but over the course of the next few weeks with the fixtures. He also enables a lot of other good stuff to happen. Like with this squad that I'm reading at the moment, I've got like 1.5 million in the bank, which is the money for Bruno Fernandes plus a little bit extra because I'm expecting Bruno Fernandes to take some price rises possibly before I want to get him. So Enzo's there, but that's a position that may or may not stick. I've had Bruno Guimarães in that slot a lot over the last week, and he's one that I currently don't have. Like at the minute, he is the sacrifice, the player that I would like that I don't have, because the rest of my midfield is made up of Rice, Wirtz, who's, as I've mentioned before, staying for 2 weeks and then becoming Bruno Fernandes when the Liverpool fixtures swing and the Manchester United ones do. Morgan Rodgers stays, I think rightly. He looks good and the fixtures are good, so he's going to stay. And then I've watched Semenyo twice and gone, I cannot have this anymore, because he was already killing me at Bournemouth. And I think I ranted on the last podcast about how when he scored that last minute goal against Spurs, that was the thing that, apart from Thiago, that was the thing that really hurt me the most. And as the second most owned player in the game, I'm being sold en masse, by the way, before that FA Cup fixture and goal at the weekend. I think I'm going to just risk having him and the fact that he might get the occasional benching, because the squad exists now that I can cover that out on the bench if for any reason he does miss a game. So yeah, so at the minute it's Enzo, Semenyo, Rodgers, Wirtz and Rice, with an easy route to Bruno Fernandes from Wirtz in 2 weeks' time.
Nice. Anything glaring you're missing there, Jules?
No, but I think it's for everybody playing their wild card. Like Sam said, there's probably 7 for 5, really, yeah. 7 players.
Harry Wilson, did he come into your thinking?
He's another one.
Bruno Guimarães, Semenyo, Rice, one of probably Wirtz, Saka, somebody like that. Plus, at some point, Bruno is also in the conversation, and then that's it. So you've got 7 or 8, Rodgers, obviously, inevitably. Mm-hmm. You've got 7 and 8, and you need to pick 5, and who you think those 5s for now are the best for you in terms of the fixtures, in terms of their form. You can argue that the manager bounce that you would think Manchester United will get with Michael Carrick. Now, I know it's a tough game against City, even at Old Trafford, but usually there's always a bounce, right? When there's something new like that, could benefit Bruno back in that number 10 position where he's the best. So Bruno probably could be a priority for a lot of people who play their wild card right now, even for the tough 2 games coming up against City and Arsenal. So it's just those 8, pick the best 5. And it'd be interesting to see when we review Sam's wild card next week, if she picked the 5 best one. But after the weekend. No, but you know, it's really interesting to see who got points amongst the ones that she got and the ones she hesitated to bring in.
Forwards?
Haaland stays.
Sure.
Because it's Haaland. At the moment, I'm on Thiago.
You have to be, really.
Do you?
Yeah, you do. That kind of form is...
The fixtures aren't great.
I know, but still.
Like, the thing is, like, the fixtures are better for, say, Calvert-Lewin. And the problem with this is that if I look at my front eight, I got bench at least one of them every week. And having Thiago is going to be a problem, because, and I already know it's going to be a problem, because I'll look at the fixture and go, I probably should bench him. and then he'll probably score because he's, you know, whereas like having somebody that's slightly cheaper. The other thing to say with all of this is that if I do decide that I actually want somebody more expensive, then Thiago to Dominic Calvert-Lewin is really easy, isn't it? It's the easiest move in the world. I don't actually think, and I have considered just going for Creepy Junior and Mane as the second and third forwards and freeing up all the money to put it in the other positions. And I don't think that's terrible either. But right now I'm on Haaland, Thiago and Creepy Junior as my front three.
What do you make of that, Jules?
You could upgrade Creepy Junior because you said you've got 1.5 million. I know you want to keep it for Bruno, but you could still get somebody better, I guess, than Creepy Junior as your third.
But then would you want to? Because like with Semenyo not there, he's surely going to play a really important role in the way that Bournemouth play over the next few weeks, especially if they don't sign anybody to replace Semenyo in the window. I would expect Creepy Junior and Evan Nilsson to be really important to the way that they play. I look at this squad and I think, well, every week I'm going to have to play Gabriel and Timber because that's just the rules of life. If you've got Arsenal defenders, you play them. So they have to play, which means if I'm playing a back three, I've got to bench Gehi, Van de Ven or Senesi, two of them every week. And I have to bench somebody from the front eight. So Creepy Jr. will probably end up being that player that gets benched a lot of the time because in reality, that midfield four is going nowhere.
Yeah, fair enough.
So if I overinvest in that third forward slot, one, I don't think I need to because I think you've got Creepy Jr. and you've also got Mane if you prefer from Wolves. Also, the Wolves fixtures from game week 24 onwards also look great. So you could go for either of those two options. It gives you an easy bench option. It's handy for a bench boost later. But it also means that if something goes wrong and Semenyo doesn't play, I'd be happy to have somebody like Creepy Jr. come off the bench because in all likelihood, he's going to be starting quite a lot. So that's where I am with that. And I think Creepy, weirdly, is one of the locks in my team. It's Thiago that I'm still really up for debate on. Like I really want to go for Liam Delap. I know it sounds ridiculous. And I'm at a point with it where I'm like, I've gone so far down this road now that maybe I just have to back myself with it. If he'd have played tonight or at least been in the squad, I think I'd have felt better. But because obviously he's missed out on the game tonight altogether, I'm going to have to wait and see how he's feeling by the weekend, I guess, and make a decision from there. But I do really fancy going for him because if I went for him, that means I won't go for Enzo Fernandez and it puts Bruno Guimarães back in my team or Harry Wilson back in my team, one or the other, which maybe I like better in the midfield. So it's all the interconnecting pieces you see that kind of match up because I don't want to double up on the Chelsea attack. I just want one.
Makes a lot of sense. How set are you then?
80%, I think. There's probably four slots that I'm not sure about, but I think I'm nearly there.
Going to be a busy few days. Okay then, differential of the week. Sam, what happens when it's a tie? Because it was a tie last week. Jules went Mane, you went Gibbs White. They both got 9 points.
That's nice, wasn't it? We both did all right.
Yeah, the cheapest one surely should win.
You can go first. Go on. I'll let you go first. Go on.
You let me go first? Okay, thank you very much.
I'm nice like
Samantha.
That.
I picked this week Lewis Hall at Newcastle, a left back. I know the Newcastle defence is a little bit depleted in terms of injuries, you know, Dan Burn and Livramento and share and all of that, but I think that Lewis Hall has done really well lately in terms of what it would cost you is 5.3 million for a defender, so it's not too bad. Owned by less than 3% of the manager, certainly before I inspired the whole nation and the whole world actually to bring him in. 4 points in his last three Premier League games. And I think he's been a little bit unlucky in some of those games not to return more because there were some really good crosses. He's very attacking. He overlaps a lot. He's very good going forward. Do you think that especially if Wissa plays, there could be a lot of crosses coming from that left-hand side? Him and Gordon, I think, combine really well, or him and Barnes. So, yeah, Lewis Hall away at Wolves this weekend.
Sam?
I've gone rogue. Because I've actually been... No, it's not Liam Delap. I've actually been on quite a good run recently with my differentials, and here is where it's probably going to end because I'm about to turn to my own team because Spurs face West Ham this weekend and I'm going, and surely they're going to make me happy this weekend is my theory. West Ham have conceded 95 attempts from set pieces this season. Only Crystal Palace have conceded more from set pieces. They have also only kept one clean sheet. That is the fewest in the league. They have also conceded 43 goals. That is the most in the league. So I sat for ages tonight trying to decide whether I target the Spurs player that's likely to supply the set pieces or the Spurs player that's likely to put in the set pieces. And in the end, I also, like Jules, went for a defender and went for the player that I think is likely to put in the set
pieces. Mickey
van der Ven.
He's owned by too many managers. So it's his partner in crime who got a rest in the FA Cup.
Before the red
suspended.
Card or after the red card?
He's not going to get a red card this weekend. He's served his ban for his red card at the weekend. Yeah. And so he's back in the starting 11. So I'm going to opt for Romero.
I wasn't expecting this one.
No, I've got...
Romero himself was not expecting this one.
Do you know what? I know. He called me up and he said, Sam, what are you doing? I sat on the sofa with Lee earlier and I was talking about going for a Liverpool player and I very nearly picked Frimpong and he said, oh, he might not overlap and get in behind in the way that you want. I think Verts is a better option. I was like, I can't have Verts. He's owned by too many players. And in the end, I was like, right, it's enough Liverpool chat. We'll go for a Lily White. So Romero it is. He's only owned by 3.8%. I very, very nearly went Xavi. But that felt really rogue. So here we are with Romero.
I did think about Frimpong, by the way. I went for Frimpong.
I very nearly went there. Yeah.
They got
not against
fixtures.
Romero. Jules, come on now.
Of course.
Please.
They got a good fixture this weekend as well, Liverpool. And you could say Spurs have, but...
Who knows?
Yeah. okay, then transfers and captains. Sam, well, I mean, we've gone through your transfers, so captain.
Probably Haaland. I have flirted with the idea of Florian Wirtz. I do like that fixture, but I'll probably end up on Haaland because it's surely this goal scoring drought is going to come to an end.
Jules.
I'm going to roll the transfer and then for the captaincy, it's on a kitty kit right now because I thought you looked sharp and I know it was only Barnsley, but him and Wirtz are really starting to strike a really, really good partnership. A really good understanding of each other. I think that's really interesting from a Liverpool's point of view. And if you own Wirtz or Kitike, this is good, especially for this weekend in the game that they have. So I'm really tempted by Kitike. And I agree with Sam in a way, but we've also said for the last 2 weeks, oh, you have to captain Haaland because he's going to finally start scoring. And he scored a penalty and that was it. He was not very good in the League Cup. He was not very good in the FA Cup either. There's clearly something not right and he might put everything right in the Derby or Trafford, but he also might not. So I'm not really sure. It'd be one or the other anyway.
Okay, well, that's all. Leave it. A reminder, we're back to a normal Saturday morning deadline this week. It's 11 a.m, 90 minutes, ahead of the small matter of the Manchester Derby at Old Trafford. The Fantasy Show is back on Friday. Az and Sam are going to be in the studio with me. Off the Bench is also back next week with Az and Oscar talking you through all the key talking points. And we'll be back next Thursday, as always, with what are we doing? Oh, yeah, looking ahead to Game Week 23. I don't know what game week it is anymore. See you later, guys. Have a good one.